Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing great, brother.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed in the Lord.
Well, praise God. Today is the start of something I think is going to be really special. It's something that all three of us are actually passionate about. I know we talk about that in a lot of different avenues, why we're passionate about this, passionate about that. Maybe Tony's a little more passionate about worship. I know I love discussing things like once saved, always saved, and doctrine, and apologetics. But this subject is one that we are all really kindred spirits. And I know for Tony, I'm going to let him speak for himself. But I know for me, this one, I remember the first time I ever heard a message on this subject. And it's something that, guys, we are going to start doing every single Tuesday show.
Typology hopefully. Tuesdays.
Typology
Instead
Tuesday.
Instead of tacos. Better than tacos.
Yeah, it's way as better than tacos. And praise God, you are allowed to eat tacos and listen to this at the same time. We will not, forbid the gift of tacos. So we are really excited, though, to start this Typology Tuesday so that we can bring this to you. Now, if something comes up, if we're like, hey, we're going to do four straight episodes on a subject, we may skip here and there. But we're going to really try to stick to Typology Tuesday because it is really important to me. I know, like I said, I remember the first message that I came to, I heard about typology and I was like, wow, okay, what is typology? And then seeing just the gospel message in the Old Testament so vividly, so clearly, honestly, it changed my faith. It changed the way I read scripture. When I first came to the Lord, I started in Matthew, I read through Revelation, and then I started in Genesis. So for me, I had already been to a few messages explaining typology and a few different typologies, and I know that Joe will kind of mix it in at least every other message probably if you go back and listen, or at least mention it to some degree. And I know for me personally, listening to and studying that, it just, my eyes just, it was exploding off the text, especially when we talk about Genesis and stuff. But I know Tony's not, I'm not the only one. Tony as well.
Oh yeah, this, like the story of Joseph. When I first started coming to Blessed Hope and you were going through Joseph, the story of Joseph, and listening to all those typologies, I was blown away because I had never looked at the Old Testament in that way. And it's awesome that we can discuss these things now in a broader context and bring our audience into it. It's not just within our church, but the story of Joseph, you know, being put into the ground, being put into a pit, you know, just like Jesus went into the grave, but then he came out. He rose to the right hand of the king, just like Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He fed the nations, you know, the bread of life, basically, and saved everyone, which is Jesus. You know, he's the bread of life. It's just, there's so, Amen. It's so rich. It's,
rejected by
his look how that has stuck in your mind and built your faith in Christ.
Yeah, and I'm only scratching the surface. There's so much in there. I mean, I don't know if the message is still in our podcast because it's older now, but it's just read through the story. And if you have Jesus on your heart and you're looking for typologies of Jesus, you'll see it all over. Not just that story, but all over the Old Testament when you're reading through it.
It's really funny you said it that way because I remember when I first started going out with Holly, I had my Bible with all my notes in it. And I had all these places where I had circled it, you know, not studying to any length or read any commentary, but just coming to church, hearing about these typologies. And I had circled every time I was reading something and I wrote Jesus next to it. I was like, oh, that reminds me of Jesus, you know, the scapegoat, whatever it is. You know, oh, this reminds me of Jesus, you know. And I was like, wow. And it really did. Not just my faith, but my friends, everyone. We started digging into this. And I was like, this is so incredible that it's all the way through it. And so I figured maybe as a good introductory lesson, Joe, maybe we can kind of pigeon it this way or head it this way. Is does the New Testament tell us at all that it's supposed to be, you know, there is these typologies or is it something that maybe we're just reading into the text?
No, it's absolutely amazing. When you read the New Testament, there's type after type after type that's used, not only by Jesus, but by the apostles, Then after the Jesus and the Apostles, the church fathers had a lot of, they used a lot of, when you read, you know, Justin Martyr's dialogue with Trifo and you read the early church fathers, they make a lot of usage of typology. And I mean, what's a blow mind is that it shows the grandeur, the power, the sovereignty, the wisdom of God. I mean, because Jesus is everywhere throughout the Old Testament. It just builds your faith. And sometimes I joke and say, you know, it's, hermeneutics is important, but so is hymeneutics. And hermeneutics is the, you know, the science of studying scripture in its context, right? Hymeneutics is a little phrase we use to, where's Jesus? He's throughout the pages of scripture. Jesus says that Moses wrote of me. In Hebrews, it says, in the volume of the book, it is written of him. And of course, probably the best place to go for an introduction to typology is Jesus' own words. You know, when he confronts the disciples that after his resurrection, who are wondering what happened, you know, what happened to Jesus, you know, on the road to Emmaus. And then he opens up the scriptures to them. And just bear my heart a little bit before I go into that is, I think these shows we've been doing are awesome. I couldn't believe you guys said, I think Chad, you said we're over like 70 shows. I'm like, what? We've just been doing it. It adds up for a week, you know, and then, and Chad's 511 show, which is really good too, adds up to 5 a week. I'm like, man, that's crazy. It's awesome. But I'm thinking, you know what? We're doing a lot on apologetics, you know, defending the faith, correction in the church, you know, encouragement, you know, sound doctrine, all that's real important. And I approached Chad and Tony different times and said, hey, I really want to do Typology Tuesday. And it just came to me, Typology Tuesday would be a great title for it. And focus on Jesus. One of those 4 or 5 times a week that we're together, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's focus on Jesus. Amen. Because I've noticed a lot of people that are in the discernment ministry, they can lose their first love. They can dot their theological I's and cross their theological T's, but they can be hard-hearted. They can be involved in sin and rebellion. They can become Pharisees. We have to be very careful of that. And the scriptures warn, you know, that we're supposed to make sure that, you know, we return to our first love and that we're not to be lukewarm. And I think one of the beautiful things about typology, I mean, brothers and sisters, when you say Typology Tuesday, I hope that's one of the first ones you're excited to hear that week, because we're going to be getting into scripture in ways that you probably have never seen the scripture unfolded. It's based on a New Testament hermeneutic. And how the scriptures, how Jesus is revealed in the Old Testament. Chad?
No, I was just going to say, I know that you did a series for this on Cross TV quite a while ago as well, where you went through a number of these. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that was 13 episodes that I had done. They flew out here from Florida, and I did 13 parts on wedding portraits of Christ and his bride in the Old Testament.
Oh, wow.
Started with Adam and Eve and going through many of the couples of the Old Testament, showing that these couples are pictures, whether it's, you know, Ruth, you know, and Naomi and Boaz purchasing the field to get her. And Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, purchasing the field, finding the treasure, purchasing the field to get the treasure. And the treasure is his bride. And all these different pictures that are throughout the Old Testament. So one of the things I've been enamored by, through, and you guys are as well, and I think any believer that starts seeing it, your eyes just become so open. It's like, wow, because it shows you this. It shows you that God is sovereign over history, that he's all-powerful, that he uses events. He uses institutions. He uses things. He uses personages. Those four different things in the Old Testament, and weaves the lives. And this is what blows me away, because people have free moral agency. They're responsible for their actions. Amen. And he knows what people are going to make, what choices, what instances. He's able to use the decisions he knows that they will make to point to Christ. So you have these people, you have these events, you have these things, and you have these institutions that foreshadow prophetically Christ and his work on the cross, and even foreshadowings of the Antichrist in the Old Testament, like Goliath, Nebuchadnezzar, and others. It blows my mind. So you read it, and it shows you how powerful God is, the mind of God. You just like, wow, it's so dumbfounding. But also shows you how awesome not only his mind is, but how beautiful he is in weaving this plan of redemption throughout the pages of Scripture. It shows you how powerful he is. It shows you the inspiration of Scripture. You know, that this is obviously God inspiring the word of God. And you know what? It's a really good antidote to liberalism in the church.
Yeah, amen.
Because only God could do this. I love typology. I know you guys love typology. In our fellowship, we love typology. And I think in the last days, this is very important. I'll tell you why. Because I believe typology can help in many of the ways apologetics. I mean, you know, Tony and I were talking about this before the show. It's how it really helps with apologetics, because it shows you it's such evidence. Because a lot of times we think of evidence as being prophecies of Israel and prophecies of Christ, these direct prophecies, these statements, these declarations of you know, where he'd be born in Bethlehem and you know, what time he would be born, you know, 69-7 is after the decree to rebuild the temple, which is exactly when he'd be crucified, actually, and so forth, you know, what the state of the world would be and how the Jews would reject him and all these are powerful prophecies, and we don't dare minimize them, and we're covering them as well, some of them as we go through. But when you take events, you know, and things that happen in history that are also pictures, it just blows your mind. So I praise God that we're getting into this. And Chad, now I'll start to answer your question a little more, is in Luke 24:27, this is on the road to Emmaus, and the disciples, a couple of them are hanging their heads, bummed out, because they're like, what happened to Jesus, you know? What about all these promises? And it says that Jesus appeared to them. And it says he revealed himself to them. And then it says in verse 27, then beginning with Moses, look at the Bible study Jesus took them through. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, not just one or two, all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. And they were blown away. Now it goes on to say in verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us? I'm sorry, I didn't want to go to that verse yet, because that verse is so beautiful. But right after verse 47 that I just read, or 27 that I just had mentioned, in verse 47, he's talking to some other disciples after his resurrection. And it says, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, it's the first five books, and the prophets, it's the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So Jesus gave, prior to that, a Bible study from all those sections of the Bible. That's the three-fold division of the Old Testament among the Jews. And Jesus showed himself to them in his resurrection through these books, through these prophets. And this is, I love this scripture. Listen to how they reacted, how the disciples on the road to Emmaus reacted. It says, then they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I love that, because you know what? The church is lukewarm today, guys. Many people have left their first love. And it's important that we know the truth and that we defend the truth and we share the truth, and we'll grow in our love for Jesus as we do those things, as we seek him. But as we look for Jesus and we look to Jesus in the scripture, he says, Moses wrote of me, as I mentioned earlier, and the volume of the book is written of me. And then he took the disciples through these books. And what happened to their hearts? They burned. Their hearts, what happened to their hearts? They burned and they burned, man. And guess what? I want our hearts to burn for Jesus. I want this to be one of the best possible podcasts you could possibly listen to, because there has been a famine of the word in these days, and we should be excited about Jesus. The times are pointing to his return. We should be excited by the facts that the signs of the times show you that his coming is getting closer. We're supposed to look up as we see the signs, because our redemption draws nigh. But we also need to look to the Old Testament, which points prophetically to the New Testament and even the future, and our hearts will burn as we see Jesus in the pages of scripture. So the reason I want Typology Tuesdays is what an opportunity it gets for us, the three of us, along with our audience, to pray together, to seek the Lord together, yeah, to see Jesus through scripture. And you know what? I personally, you know, I've been pastoring for, you know, almost 30 years, and I've been preaching and evangelizing years before that. And I've drive down the radio or drive down the road like everybody else, turn on Christian radio. And I wanted this podcast and our teaching at Blessed Hope to be something that I'd want to hear,
yeah,
that it would be edifying, amen, me as I'm driving or as, amen, I'm hearing or I'm listening, that would challenge me, that would make me think. And it wouldn't just be something palatable where I can just feel good and hear a verse or two, but it would change my life and the lives of my brothers and sisters. And so we share this by loving you as we love ourselves. We want you to have these treasures that God is showing us, and we want to all grow together and so forth. So it's interesting, because it's not just about knowing about Jesus or knowing right doctrines. Jesus said, this is the eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We need to know Jesus. That's eternal life. And I'm going to share with you some of the typologies that are mentioned in the New Testament in a moment, but Chad has something to say.
No, I just think it's really cool, because we're talking about it as an edification for each and every one of us. Just individually, I do believe you grow in a greater love for the Word of God, especially when,
absolutely,
you start going back to the Graphe, going back to the Scriptures, exactly what our New Testament brethren who wrote the New Testament were referring to many times when they talked about the Scriptures. And,
amen,
I remember going to Israel with you guys for the first time, and what did I use when sharing the gospel? To, like, literally, I literally had someone at the end of going through Jacob's life, I had someone say, That's Jesus. That a Jewish man in Israel said that to me after going through these typologies. So yes, you can also use them not only for edification, but for evangelism. And yeah. I think that's really important.
Right. Yeah, and when I minister to Jews, especially in Israel, I use typology more than anything else, you know? Even to a guy amongst a bunch of pastors that all of us went together, I used typology of Joseph pleading with him, and he was dumbfounded. And then I've seen Jew after Jew say, I can see totally how you understand that. I can see that does look like Jesus. And as we go through these scriptures together, you'll get more evidence, more ammunition, and so forth. Pray for us through this series as well. The Holy Spirit would work on us and through us and so forth, and that he'd use you as well to share the truths of who Jesus is with the lost. I'm going to encourage you to turn other people on to this episode and others on Typology Tuesday, because we want to get more and more people into it. But it's interesting, is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, and by way of introduction, you know, typologies are basically pictures of Christ in the Old Testament, pictures of the work of salvation through Christ in the Old Testament, and various other pictures, as I mentioned, through events, through persons, through things, institutions. But understand this, the New Testament makes use of typology. I'm going to give you some evidence of that right now. Throughout the New Testament, there is reliance upon God's prophetic sovereign word through picture form, foreshadowing future events in the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. This is when Jesus came into the world and took a body. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. So you expect foreshadowings in the book of Hebrews, and definitely, I mean, throughout the book of Hebrews, in verses 23 and verses 24 of Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about how the first testament, speaking of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the blood sacrifices were, quote, patterns of things in the heavens and figures of the true sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus, who was sacrificed over and over again. It says seven times, a number of completion, which is also typological in the Old Testament, of fulfillment, seven times. Jesus, died once for all. Now, it's interesting as well. In the book of Hebrews, we're told about the first tabernacle. The first tabernacle was a picture of Christ's body in chapter 9, verses 8 and 9, and a picture of the present tabernacle in Jesus. We're told that the high priest, Aaron and so forth, was a picture of the ultimate high priest, who is Jesus, in that book as well. We're told in Hebrews chapter 5, and this is kind of interesting. This shows you why there's practical and applicational things that have to do with your life regarding typology. He wants to get into Melchizedek, and he gets into him a little bit. Mm-hmm. He wants to talk about how Melchizedek in the Old Testament is a type or picture of Christ. And it's all about magnifying Jesus. The book of Hebrews, more than any New Testament book, I believe, just emphasizes Jesus, how he's higher than Moses, how he's higher than the angels, how he's the creator of all things, how he's the ultimate high priest, on and on and on. And he wants to get more into Melchizedek as a picture of Christ, because Melchizedek was without beginning of days. He had no genealogy. He's a picture of Christ who is from everlasting and so forth. But he says, I can't, because you're still babes. You're sluggish. You're on milk and you're not able to eat meat. And those on milk aren't able to discern between good and evil. So brothers and sisters, God wants us, he goes on to say that God wants you to go beyond the elementary things, so you don't fall away. And he gives one of the strongest passages in all the Bible against falling away, because people stay in an immature state. He wants us to be stretched so that we'll continue and we'll grow and we'll go forward in Jesus and we'll become meat eaters. And typology is meat eating. I encourage you, not Taco Tuesday, Typology Tuesday, you're going to be eating meat, spiritual meat, along with some milk to encourage us in just the basics of Christianity as well. But there's some typologies we had just mentioned. Now, keep in mind, Jesus gave the ultimate Bible study. And I've said over and over again in our fellowship, I hope Jesus' teaching on the road to Emmaus is in heaven on video. You know, I want to check out that video, so to speak, because that must have just been such a blow mind. I want to see the scriptures that he used when he opened their minds to himself throughout the Old Testament. But isn't this interesting? The Apostle Paul, I'm going to just go through the New Testament, just some of the passages, and there's several of them, where typology from the Old Testament is used and revealed to be a picture of Christ, foreshadowing Christ in the New Testament. By the way, one thing, I'm not even going to give the scripture away, but we'll get to it next week on Typology Tuesday. Paul even uses the first day of creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, from the very get-go, as a picture of our redemption in Christ. It's a blow mind. That's based on the authority of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I want to get into that, but I don't want to give that too much away, because we're going to spend the whole next Tuesday on that picture in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So incredibly beautiful. But Paul, in the, I mean, Noah is used in Genesis 6-7 that we read about what happened with Noah as a type of the of baptism in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. In 1 Corinthians 10:2, Paul says this, "I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." That was a picture of our baptism in Christ. And Paul warns them that we've had these they had these experiences and they fell away and did not reach the promised land. He talks about how we've experienced Christ. Okay? And he goes on to talk about, in you know, a couple verses later, in verse 4, he talks about how they drank. Remember when they drank in Horeb from the rock that Moses was called to hit the rock and water would gush forth and torrents of water flowed out and they were dehydrated and they were able to drink and be satisfied. Paul says, and they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So that rock prefigured Christ. When Christ was put to death on the cross, what flowed out of him? Water and blood. Okay, and it's through his death that he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We see that Jesus says, he that believes in him, rivers of living water would flow from the depths of their being, you know, from their bellies, as some translations state. And it's through Jesus' crucifixion that blood flowed that cleanses us from our sins. The water that flowed was a picture of him giving us the Holy Spirit. And when the rock was hit in the Old Testament, water flowed. And guess what? The second time, Moses was told by the Lord God, just talk to the rock and water will come forth. It's a picture of Christ, right? Remember, Moses got upset because the Israelites were complaining, they were whining and they're grumbling. And he got upset with them and said, you know, you rebellious people. And he hit the rock again, a second time. Uh-oh. Christ was only supposed to be crucified what? Once. And he was only crucified once. But Moses ruined the typology. He hit it a second time when he's supposed to just talk. Christ didn't have to be crucified again. Now we go. In time of need, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it talks about how we're to go confidently into the throne room of grace to obtain grace and mercy in time of need. We can ask the Lord. Jesus said, ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, and he'll give you the Holy Spirit. We're believers. We have the Holy Spirit. But Paul talked about in Ephesians 3, he prays that we can be filled with the fullness of the Spirit. So Christ doesn't need to be crucified again. Moses hits the rock. He kind of ruined the typology a bit there. And he was forbidden to go into the promised land because of his anger toward the people. That was a pretty serious situation. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul talks about how we've received a circumcision that is not made with hands, made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So circumcision and part of the flesh being cut away so they could be identified as God's people is a picture of us being cut off, the flesh being cut away from us, being made new creations as living epistles and pictures of Christ. We see this over and over again. In fact, a couple verses later, Paul warns against those who would teach that you have to keep the Sabbath to be saved. In Colossians 2, 16 and 17, it says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Then he says this, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So the Sabbath was a picture, a shadow of a rest given to God's people to commemorate their leaving from Egypt on the seventh day. Christ rose on the first day or the eighth day. The early church rested on the rest, not just on the first day. That's when they celebrated the Lord's Supper. That's when they came together. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and Acts chapter 20. Elsewhere in the early church fathers, they met on the first day of the week. But guess what? Those Sabbath rests were a picture of our rest in Christ. He says, those Sabbaths, let no one judge you. So you got to keep the Sabbath. Because guess what? That's the type. The anti-type is the fulfillment of the type. The anti-type is Christ coming, dying for our sins so we don't have to work our way into God's favor, but we're saved purely by God's grace through faith. And Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are weary, means really tired, and heavily laden, burdened, and I will give you what? Rest for your souls. And Hebrews chapter 4 uses that typology, how we've entered into those who believe are entering into his rest, on and on and on. In Hebrews 11, we read that God, or Abraham, receiving Isaac back up from the dead figuratively, because he didn't have to kill Isaac, was a picture, was a type of Christ's resurrection. He even used the word tupos. He says he received him back as a type. It was a picture. I can't wait to get into that when we get to Genesis chapter 22, because Isaac is a picture of Christ in so many ways. In fact, it's interesting. I had a guy visiting our church, the Wesley, for this last one, and he came from San Francisco, and a brother named Kevin, really awesome brother, Kevin, his wife Tabitha. Kevin was ministering, street witnessing on the streets of San Francisco, and this guy was playing an instrument, a strange instrument, and Kevin began to share the gospel with him, and he was all wrapped up into the new age occult type teaching. His name's Kyle. He started sharing with him. He gave my testimony through YouTube, and the guy said that played a significant role in bringing him to Christ.
Oh, wow.
He came to over the Wednesday before his last one. We sat down. I started taking him through some typology because it's been burning on my heart, right? And he was blown away. He starts rubbing his arms. He said, I'm getting chills all over. It's so clear, you know? And it reminded me when the disciples, their hearts burned when they heard about Jesus. Amen. And that's what we want to happen with you guys. In fact, there are so many examples I want to give you from the New Testament so you'll fall in love with Jesus more. Jesus talked about Jonah, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That's a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus talked about being the manna and how that was a foreshadow of him who himself is the bread of heaven. He used Jacob's ladder, access that the angels had back and forth on the ladder, as a picture of access that we have to heaven through him. On and on and on. Give you a couple more examples because we're squeezing so much in such a short time.
Don't want to bury the lead either.
Amen. The cross in the Old Testament. Jesus says, as a serpent was lifted up by Moses, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. I believe that's John 3:14. And that was a picture of the cross. They would serpent bit, look to the pole, which would have a serpent across it, which was the judgment of God, which would fall upon the Messiah. The Tav, Ezekiel, everybody's going to be put to death who does not have a Tav on them. In the Old Testament times, during Ezekiel's prophesying, the Tav, it was presented. You know how it was printed in those days? How was it printed, guys?
Like a cross.
Mm-hmm. In the form of a cross, just like the Passover blood. Guess what? That was put on the doorpost and the lintel, and it would drip down the form of a cross. It was the Passover blood of the unblemished lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. They understood that these were foreshadowings of Christ. In fact, Jesus was crucified on Passover. That's not an accident. And John says not one bone was broken to fulfill Scripture. That's because you weren't supposed to break the bones of the Passover lamb. On and on and on, you know. I want to go through a bunch of more pictures and types of Christ's death on the cross, resurrection, but we're running out of time. But I just want to encourage you guys, get excited about Typology Tuesday. Turn other people on to these studies because we really believe this can impact the body of Christ and get them excited about Jesus in these last days.
Yeah, and let your heart burn for them. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.